What the Tech is brought to you by TextExpander. TextExpander helps you communicate smarter. Visit TextExpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Thurrott. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
As the lights behind me start peeling off the wall. You know, it's really funny. Every September, this happens.
What's
up? I upgrade these lights behind me, these LED strips, because they go bad. You know, they're cheap. So every year around the same time, I change them. I change them in January. I buy them for myself for Christmas. And I wrap it, and I give it to myself. It's become a big joke where I give myself the same LED strips every year, and they start peeling off in September. So now it's time to replace them. I know it's time. Big day today.
That's really, that's kind of chintzy.
It is.
You know, well, quality-wise.
$10. big day today, big Apple event. One of many to come, possibly, right?
Yeah, at least one more. I mean, if not two. Yeah.
Yeah. I told Paul before we began the show, which we're going to go through everything that happened, obviously, but I told him I'm going to be smashing some White Claws while we're doing the show. It's 2:20 in here in the East Coast. So perfect time. And he goes, what does that mean? So I told him to ask his son, because he will probably know. If he doesn't, then I'm a real dweeb for saying that.
Oh, my God.
I'm enjoying you ever see White Claws.
You've seen the movie Office Space, right?
I have, yeah.
And the guy, one of the phrases in the movie is like, someone's having a case of the Mondays.
Yes.
So he goes to his next door neighbor, the guy you can hear through the wall. And he says, let me ask you a question. He goes, does anyone at your work ever say someone's having a case of the Mondays? And he goes, no, I think a person could get the shit kicked out of them for that. So I'm hoping that when I ask my son, if anyone ever says smashing White Claws, that that's his response.
Listen, I love to go and hang out with like 25-year-olds. Because I've hit my midlife crisis phase. So I just hang out with 20-something-year-olds, and I'm like, hey, fellas, who wants to smash some White Claws with me? And they all look at me, and they give me high fives and everything. That's just,
it's like the Steve Buscemi going back to school as like an undercover student or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be having a drink here today because I have both my kids at home. My daughter, I couldn't take her to school today because I had to watch the Apple event and do the show, obviously. And I'm living hell on earth with both my kids now at war today. While I'm hiding in my office, and my youngest brother and my middle brother are now watching my kids because they're here for the time being.
So, here's my guess. If anyone dies, it's going to be one of your brothers.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something, you know, and I think you'd be very proud. And if anybody at HP, our friends at HP are listening, my daughter absolutely hates using an iPad. And hates using an iPhone, and definitely doesn't go anywhere near a MacBook. She will only use an HP EliteBook or an HP Spectre.
Wow, that's weird because just today, Tim Cook talked about how much he loved his iPad.
Oh, yeah. My daughter hates it. And I asked her why, and she said she likes, the touchscreen, right? Because these kids have no idea what regular computers are non-touch devices. Doesn't exist in their universe, but she says she likes the convertible aspect of the HP,
okay,
that she can make it a laptop or a tablet. She's 4.5.
Sure,
she's almost 5, so
she likes the versatility.
Yeah, and I like to say that's Uncle Paul's influence on her life.
There you go. Right. Right.
So a lot to talk about, obviously, today. We're gonna run this down. It's gonna be a quick show. We're gonna be back on Thursday with a regular What the Tech. And by the way, guys, if you're watching this live, we have a great treat for you guys. On Thursday, we are going to be doing, we're partnering up with a certain company, and we are announcing a giveaway for a Surface Duo.
Wow.
Yeah. Very cool, right?
Very cool.
I guess I could announce who it is, right? I guess I can. We're going to be partnering with Glasswire. They're not advertising with us yet. They're going to be on board as an advertiser. I'm really looking forward to them in the coming months. And we're going to be doing a giveaway. We're going to be tweeting it out. We'll also have a link in our show notes and discuss it on the show. But we're going to be doing a giveaway. These guys are great at Glasswire. You've probably heard them from, if you listen to Linus his Linus's video, Linus Tech Tips on YouTube. You probably have heard of him. A lot of people that we know, a lot of our viewers already use Glasswire. They know of Glasswire. So we're going to be doing a giveaway for a Surface Duo. Very awesome giveaway. But today, let's talk about the Apple event. Greg M in the chat room. He uses Glasswire. Great guys over there. I got to tell you, I like these very quick 1 hour videos.
Me too.
Right? How much easier it is to watch this without the BS.
Yeah. You know, it's Apple, but the hyperbole was kept to a minimum. The BS was kept to a minimum. I completely understand why they bring in like some testimonials from Apple Watch people. It's so easy, you know, like it's this thing saved my life, but I don't really feel like people need this convincing anymore. And I don't mean this in a, well, maybe I'm just cynical. I can't, you know, I don't watch this event to see testimonials. Like I watch this event because I want to learn about the products, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you know what? It was 5 minutes, whatever. That was fine. And it was mostly like, here's what's going on with the products. Yeah. And I appreciated that focus.
So it wasn't as big as a lot of people assumed it would be leading up to this.
Our friend
of the show, John Prosser from Page Tech, he leaked a lot of this information, which kudos.
I mean, I feel like nothing didn't leak, you know, basically. I mean, let me think about that. It wasn't 100% clear that they're going to announce Apple One today, but they did. But as far as the actual like hardware products, I don't know that there were any secrets.
The only thing I'm surprised they did not announce is that iTag.
I
guess that's going to be, they're going to wait for that. And it makes sense for them to wait because that'll be a big holiday item if you think about it. So let's run this down. Apple Watch was the big focus here. They had they announced the Apple Watch Series 6 and the Apple Watch SE. I tweeted this out and I want to know what you think of this, right? Because you've done all the fitness bands. As long as I've known you, you've had a Fitbit, you had the Microsoft band, you had
By the way, tomorrow, Andrew, I'm getting one of those Amazon Halos.
Oh, you are? Awesome. I'd love to know. Thursday, I'll ask you how it is.
Yep.
So you've always been in that. I'm into fitness. You can't tell right now because I'm out of shape, but I used to work out.
Look at me. I go to the gym every day. You'd never know. I mean,
I can still do this. Look at this. I can shake my pecs. Well, that I can still do. Nothing else. But I
all I got is big, gross veins in my shoulders.
But we both work out. We like to take care of ourselves. I mean, for as much as we can. But I've never gotten into the fitness bands. It irritates me. I really don't like anything on my wrist. And the only time I do wear a watch is for meetings. You know, wear a nice watch and I'll go to a meeting. This is the first time I've actually looked at an Apple Watch and said to myself, huh, I would not mind having it.
I have seriously considered Apple Watch on many occasions, including many occasions in the past year. If they had ever announced, and I know this is going to sound crazy at first, but if they had ever announced that this thing was coming to Android, I probably would have just bought one and that would have been it. It does so much. I'm not a big fan of the UI per se, but the sheer amount of functionality is incredible. And there's stuff I really care about in there, like the blood oxygen level stuff, which is crucial to me. VO2 max, obviously. The VO2 max is pretty common now.
By the way, you know, I thought of you when they announced the blood. I mean, there's a ton of devices that do it now. Like I have one in my house, just like the finger one. Everybody in my family's a nurse.
Well, but just having one that's on, you know, like, and by the way, sleep is the key one for me. And the fact that it will do that automatically in the background
I thought of your trip to Colorado and what happened to you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Where you got
high altitude
poisoning.
Edema. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is very scary.
Yeah. I'm still convinced like this is how I'm going to go. Like it's going to get me eventually. Like it's sitting in there, you know, gestating or something, but like some alien thing. But so I liked everything I saw about the Apple Watch. I think this product, which started out as sort of a nonsensical luxury item, has developed into probably the premier fitness device that's available today. And I could really see getting one, you know.
Yeah.
I have Apple devices, right? I always have an Apple iPhone around. I have the, you know, the latest iPhone. I use an iPad every day. I mean, I could sync this thing. It would be fine. I could do it.
See,
I think about it.
It's hard for us, right? For you and I, because we're in mixed environments with everything we use. You know, we use an Android phone, we have an iPhone, we have obviously Windows-based laptops. My production, my entire production facility is Windows.
I know. I struggle with this one, but it's one of those things. Like I wouldn't. Well, maybe I, my wife uses an Android phone, always has, hates Apple. I could picture having a conversation with her where it's like, look, you might want to watch this video that they did about the Apple Watch. Just watch it.
Well, she's into fitness as well.
Yeah, that's right. And she writes about health and fitness and nutrition and well-being and all that kind of stuff. So this is her area. I mean, I could imagine she likes Samsung stuff. But I mean, when I was watching this today, I thought of me, of course, but I also thought of her. And I thought, you know, this is something like my wife would be into, I bet. But this thing's great. The price is good. It's not the Series 6 is not a huge upgrade from the previous version, except for that blood oxygen thing.
What about their chip? They're putting the iPhone 11's chip in there.
Is that what it was? Was it really the iPhone 11 chip?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know how I missed that. I mean, yeah, among my problems with the Apple Watch is the frequency at which you have to charge it and the difficulty of removing it. Like even the Fitbit thing that I'm using now has this kind of complicated clasp that I don't like. The good thing is, I do take it off every day because I take a shower. So I'm not even sure if I could take it in the shower, but I don't. I mean, so I take it off anyway. So I would take off the Apple Watch to shower, and that's when I would charge it. And then they announced these new bands, the kind of stretchy bands that kind of solve the complexity issue, right? And I know they already have the there's no clasp at all. And, you know, that sounds like a small thing, but honestly, it's one of the little things that kind of made me, you know, say no to the Apple Watch over time.
I would just be concerned if I was you, because you have the biggest hands I've ever seen in my
life. Well, they have all the different sizes. Yeah. This is a huge problem for me in general. Like this little Fitbit thing I'm wearing, the band that it comes with is, I have to put it on the last notch. It barely fits. So I buy these special third-party bands. I'm curious with the Amazon one how that's going to work. I did order the new Fitbit smartwatch is coming out in 2 weeks. I think it's called the Sense, but it's like the next version of the Versa.
Yeah.
And I know that band's going to be a problem. Like I, you know, my wrists are, you know, they're big. So anyway, Apple Watch has large, you know, they have two different size faces and they have different size straps and all that stuff. And it looks like with the stretchable strap, whatever that's called, they have a range of sizes. So I'm sure what you do is measure your wrist and order, mine will be the biggest one. I think that's how it's going to work if I get it.
So let's go down this a little bit because, whenever I see this device, whenever I see the Apple Watch, I always think about what people conceptualized the Apple Watch to be before it was released, right? And I still feel that because how Apple has the mystique of Apple, I'm not saying this, not that I buy into the mystique of Apple, but how they presented themselves, people honestly expected this groundbreaking, flexible display, and it was, you know, everybody was thinking about that, and all they got was a small screen on a rubber bands.
And it's kind of a bulbous device, but all these devices are, if you look at the Galaxy Watch, any smart watch of any kind, you kind of do a cross section of it. It's not like an iPhone or a laptop where you can say, look how thin this thing is. It's like, they're actually they're bulbous, you know, it's hard getting all that stuff into a little tiny thing. And then, you know, with most of them, it's color screen, powerful processor. You're talking about a day and a half of battery life, you know?
Yeah. It's not that great. So, but here's what makes me way more interested in this watch than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. Their fitness, aspect, right? The fact that I could have this watch on. Yep. I can subscribe to a service through Apple for daily workouts and have it fully integrated in my Apple TV or my iPad or whatever I'm watching and working out on. That was the key to me that said, huh, you know what? I could see myself using this now because of that integration. The other part is many of these companies that are already doing this should be freaking out a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a couple things going on here. One is obviously because of the pandemic, gym memberships are way down, right? So even in places where gyms are open now or open again or whatever, there aren't as many people going to the gym. And because, you know, people are afraid of being around other people. So, you know, when the pandemic started, all the free weights sold out, all the Pelotons sold out, all that stuff sold out. And it was, you know, we bought a, whatever that thing is called, I don't remember anymore. We bought this crazy thing you see on late night TV that actually is pretty good, but I mean, it's just not the same. And I find myself using it less and less and, you know, being motivated, I'm just kind of a regimented person. So I'm able to go back to the gym and I just do it every day. And it's a very, you know, I do it like an every other day thing, upper, lower body, whatever. But I think one of the problems is even for people like me who do go to a gym, I don't know what I'm doing, right? So I have this little preset thing I do that's X number of machines over 30 to 45 minutes, whatever it is, and then some cardio. Honestly, my body would benefit from diversity of workout. And I just don't have the capacity. It would just be a waste of time for me because I would walk around the gym and I'd be like, I wonder how this machine works. Or maybe I could hire one of the people who works there to do like training sessions. But they want you to get on like a weekly thing or whatever. Like, I just want you to show me how to use a couple things. I'm going to be good to go. I think that this Apple Watch Fitness Plus service kind of addresses both problems. You're stuck at home and don't want to go to the gym, or you can get out in the world or want to go or willing to do that. But now you have this kind of digital assistant helping you work through different types of workouts, you know, so it kind of addresses. I thought it looked great. I mean, like out of the, you know, I mean, I've never, obviously we haven't used it just based on the little demo, but I thought this was such a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be huge. Like, I think
the pricing is not bad. You know, $9.99 a month. Yeah. $9.99 a month. If you want to pay monthly, $79 for the year. There's going to be weekly, brand new workouts put in weekly. I think they'll eventually go to live, and that'll really be the.
There will be gyms that are members or partners with Apple. Exactly. Yep. I think so too.
And I can see. But here's the other part, right? Like live in that aspect, right? Where you have it integrated within the gym.
Yep.
But I'm also saying live as far as watching it on the TV live and all your stats, and they rank you like how Peloton does essentially.
Sure. The sky's the limit on this. This is so smart. It's so smart. And it's from people who literally have just been sitting on their ass the entire pandemic and haven't done anything. And it's like, okay, we have these starter things you can do. Just get out and walk, you know, whatever it is. They already look. This is a guy I'm friends with on Facebook who I was friends with 30 years ago. I mean, I haven't seen him in 30 years, just virtually I've seen him. And he got, you know, really heavy over time. He's probably 10 years older than I am. And he's lost like 150 pounds over the past year. And he's just been doing it by closing the rings on his Apple Watch.
Amazing.
And every day he makes a little post about it. And then the year went by and he's all thin and, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's hard to argue with something that works, you know, and as they add features and add features, it becomes harder and harder to say no to something that, you know, this is stuff that I just happen to care about, you know, and a lot. And I think everyone should care about a lot of the stuff a lot, but I mean, I just, you know, you mentioned the hape thing and I, you know, whatever, I've struggled with weight for a long time. I mean, I want to improve matters. I sit in front of a computer all day. As it turns out, that's not particularly healthy. So, you know, you want to do what you can do. And so I do what I do, and it's not enough. And like one thing I don't do, like I'm sure this thing vibrates, I don't even feel it, but it's like I should be moving every hour. And I, you know, this notion of like, even though the UI is goofy to me, it clearly kind of works and is an incentive for people to use it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
that's all good.
Little something about what's happened to me during the quarantine, right? Like, because I'm not, you know, I walk to Midtown Manhattan every day and back, you know, essentially I'm walking like 10 miles a day. You know, I walk so much and it's my, even when I'm not working out, my workout was if for people in Manhattan, I get off at the East Stop on Lex and 54th. It's a very steep climb up the stairs. I never take an elevator or an escalator. I always run up those stairs. And that was kind of a workout for me because I have a really bad back. I have 4 ruptured discs, my lower back. I got nerve damage in my left leg. Paul see me hobbling every now and then. You know, I have this, I try to mask it as much as I can, but I have a little wobble when I walk. But because I've been so immobile, during, you know, for the last 6 months almost, my sciatica has come back to an obscene level of pain. So for me, if this encourages me to kind of start doing yoga again and start doing resistance training like I used to and start lifting weights again, phenomenal. Yep. You know, it's a game changer. It's a life changer. And I think a lot of people will benefit from that. Now, I know we're being very positive on Apple, which is kind of rare for us. But
I'm just saying that why not just being fair about Apple? Yeah. I mean, I this device, like, it started out as kind of a joke. I mean, the first gen, it was like a pointless, expensive bauble. You know, that's all it was. And then what Apple saw, and they were smart to move on it, was that people were using, they really wanted it for the fitness aspect of it. And I think Apple wanted to move past that. The point of the smartwatch would be that fitness would be like a little part of it, but we have fitness bands for that. Mm-hmm. And instead, they really have just kind of gone all in on that. And we already went through it, but I mean, the sheer amount of stuff that this thing tracks and helps you with, I mean, it's impressive. So yeah, this is a good product. I wish it was on Android.
Yeah, I think a lot of people. So before we continue, I want to remind everybody, if you're watching live here, we normally do the show on Thursdays, but we're doing two shows this week. We're doing this quick one now, just recapping the Apple stuff, and then we're going to do another one on Thursday to talk about just everything else that's going on, you know, all the other tech, which I have a ton of stuff. Tons of stuff is happening. Obviously, the Xbox stuff, Sony. I want to get, you know, obviously the Surface Duo has been released, and there's so much more to talk about with that, with real world experiences. So we're going to do that on Thursday, regular time on Thursday, no problem. Today's going to be concentrating heavily on this. If you're watching live on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to us. It's a huge help, especially when you subscribe on all our platforms. We're on every possible podcast platform, video and audio only. So if you're driving to work, if you're taking a train to work, I hope, you know, you guys are doing it socially safe. Subscribe to us. It helps us out. Also, Therat.com. I'll give that a little plug, too. A little plug for Therat.com, considering I take all my show notes from Therat.com. So the Apple Watch Series 6, they announced it. Okay, cool. They have different bands, and they added the blood oxygen sensor, which is a really cool addition. Yep. But they also announced an Apple Watch SE, a lower end watch starting at $279.
Now this one confuses matters a little bit for me, because they're still keeping the Apple Watch Series 3 in it for sale, right?
Yeah.
So the lowest end one you can get is this thing that's 4 years old or something, or whatever.
And what's the pricing on that now?
On the which one?
Three.
On the
Series 3.
On the Series 3. I'd have to look that up. I want to say it's cheap. It's probably $199, maybe.
Yeah.
So that is an old processor. I'm trying to find a comparison page here we go. So one of the issues with the SE is that some of the internals are basically as old as the Series 3, or maybe a little bit newer, but they're older. Some of them are newer, right? And so it's this kind of, you know, like the SE has the bigger display. I don't remember what year it happened, but at some point they went from whatever size displays they had and they bumped the display size up. So it's got that. The SE doesn't have the blood oxygen stuff. It doesn't have the ECG, right? Yeah. Neither does a Series 3, I should say.
Also,
fall detection it has. Series 3 doesn't have that.
Series 3 doesn't have cellular either.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's an entry level, whatever. I mean, but you know, so you have to if you go to apple.com/watch/compare, you can see Series 6 versus SE versus Series 3. And I look at this and I think, well, I'd want those two new ECG was from Series 5, but that's gone now. So to me, the Series 6 benefits kind of justifies the cost, right? Blood oxygen, ECG. Actually, that's about it over the SE, it looks like. I guess that's about it. Yeah, so there you go. Those are your differences.
You know what the SE is to me? Because they added all those kid-friendly features for parents, kind of track the kids. That's what it is. It's for you kids. They had to listen, $279. You're not talking chum change here, but it's way easier to justify a sub $300 device for your kids compared to.
I mean,
you
could get a Series 3 for $200. I mean,
$200, but you can't.
The kid doesn't need a blood oxygen app typically, unless there's serious problems, in which case I don't think money becomes an object. Right. Doesn't need ECG. Doesn't need fall detection. right? Yeah. Oh, actually, okay, but family setup requires the SE. There you go.
The family that's setup is great. I'm a big fan of that. I actually...
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, but now you have to spend more money.
You know, my kid is almost five, so she's a little young for this. But in a couple of years, it's not a bad idea to have that, you know, as just for your peace of mind more than anything else.
I mean, I'm sitting here like I'm not going to order one of these today. But the more I look at it, the more I think, like, you know, there's also a little preview of the blue color that's coming with the iPhones, right? Because one of the colors of the Series 6 is blue, and we know that's coming to iPhone. So if you want to see what that color looks like, check it out on the Apple Watch.
Yeah. The next thing that they discussed were iPads. I really would have bet money prior to this that they would have a new iPad mini, an iPad mini 4. I'm sure they'll unveil it without any kind of announcement, just update the store. Because shockingly, a lot of people still want an iPad mini.
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, I look at the iPad mini as it is today, and I think if they could have that same size, but with the style of the iPad Air, the iPad Pro, so it's kind of more of an all-screen kind of a device, that'd be ideal for me. Because I just use it for content. I read on it, and when I travel, I watch movies, so... I just read on it, you know.
I listen, add cellular and make phone calls, and you're great on it.
There you, you have a Surface Duo.
You got a Surface, a Surface Uno.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Anyway. So, I'm a little disappointed. The iPad announcements were a little disappointing, not because the iPad isn't fantastic. The iPad is the only tablet that anyone should buy, basically. But you know, the base model iPad is big bezel, Lightning port. You know, touch ID button. I mean, you know, it's like, guys, seriously, like it's so old fashioned. But $329, they're going to continue selling millions of these things, right? So that's good. But it's kind of weird to bring forward a device like that and basically say, look, the only difference is the processor. And I don't think anyone, like the iPad I'm using is probably now technically two generations old. It's, what do you call it? Like a 9.7 inch display, right? So, you know, big bezels. I don't ever think it's slow. Like I would never, I don't look at this iPad and think, oh my God, I want this. I do look at the iPad Air and think I want this because it's beautiful. And then I look at the price and I'm like, seriously? Like $600. Why does this product exist? This is $100 less than, actually I guess it's $200 less. Yeah. $200 less than an iPad Pro. It's the same, you know, it looks the same without the cameras, I guess.
So, the iPad, fine, okay, inexpensive, you know, $329, $299 for students and I guess teachers with the education discount. Okay, great. But the iPad Air is interesting because they, you know, this is pretty close to an iPad Pro. It's almost every feature minus one or two features. And this kind of sets you up that this is the flagship and, you know, that they want. This is the representation that they want is with this iPad.
This is the iPad. Yeah. Right. Like this should be the iPad, you know, I guess they can't make this for cheap enough. Right. Cause you can't, you know, I almost feel like the iPad should be like an educational only device. Cause that's the price.
Yeah.
And, but this thing is just too expensive. Like if this thing was, I can't believe it's $600. I just, that makes it, because right now, me upgrading my iPad is discretionary. Like I said, the performance is not a problem. I would like a device that, you know, I'd like a mobile device where I'm sitting there watching a movie and the sound isn't blowing out of one side. Like it actually had stereo speakers. I don't know why I have to pay $600 for that, but apparently that's how Apple works.
So also, something that was very interesting here, the iPad Air 4, right, technically, is the first product with the A14 processor. It's beating the iPhone 12 with the release of this chip.
Yeah, right. Which is, yeah. I'm sure originally they would have done all this together and the iPhone would have been first and, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's kind of a random thing.
Supply chain issues.
Yeah.
So, $600. $500, $600.
It looks great.
It's a lot.
But they're blurring the lines here. I don't, you know, it's like iPad, iPad Air, iPad Pro, two kinds of iPad Pros plus iPad. It's like, guys, there's too many devices in here, you know, it's too bad. Anyway, I would like to see the iPad across the board, meaning the iPad mini and the base iPad both go to this new design and just shrink them, you know, the model lineup down. But I it's probably just too expensive to do that.
So
right now.
I want to get your opinion on Apple One. They also unveiled Apple One, which is their all-in-one services. It starts off a couple, what was it, $9 a month starting?
Yeah, for the let me bring that for the individual plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, actually, it's $14.95 a month.
$14.95,
I didn't catch this in the heat of the, you know, the moment, but the Apple One announcement was very short. It's just bang, 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 we're done. So the individual plan is $14.95 a month. It's Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, Apple Arcade, and the part I didn't get was the iCloud storage, some amount of iCloud storage.
50 gigs?
I didn't get it, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they had two versions. One was 200 gigs, and then the other one was lower. So I'm guessing it was 50.
Okay, so this must be the lower one. So the family is the same thing, but you get more storage. So it's probably the 200. I didn't catch that. And I assume its name family means you can share it with everyone in your family. So for $5 more, you get more storage for yourself and for everyone, and you can everyone in your family gets all the services. And those both seem, And then there's the Premier service, which adds actually get a full 2 terabytes of storage from iCloud. That's
a lot.
That's crazy for Apple. That's a lot. That's great. And by the way, how is iCloud not Apple Cloud by now? But whatever. It's the only I thing left. I mean, from like a software services thing.
Yeah, interesting, right?
But you also get Apple News Plus and then the new Apple Fitness Plus service. I mean, and when you consider that Apple Fitness by itself is $10 a month, you know, the upgrade from family for $10 more, you get Apple News, which I don't find particularly useful. But if you want to read magazines and news and all that stuff, that's good. But and a lot of storage. So $30 a month sounds like a lot, and it is. I mean, that's $360 a year. It's a lot of money. I mean, Office 365 or Microsoft 365 Family is $100 a year.
I'll tell you. I mean, from my own personal use, right? Because I have Apple Music, I have Apple TV Plus, I have Apple Arcade. I never use Apple Arcade. The selection is
same here.
There's nothing. I wanted to because listen, this has been a big thing for me where I think they've really missed a boat when it comes to gaming on the Apple TV. Has been a big flop for them. I don't know why. I don't know if I guess it has to do with developers and lack of real vision, but that's been a flop, so forget about that. Apple TV Plus, there's really not much on there that I want to watch, so forget about that.
You know what? So that's starting to change. So obviously, a couple of good shows is not a reason to subscribe to something, right? You need a lot of content. But they're starting to do these. You saw the bundle they had. I don't remember. It was like Epics and some sports thing or something. It was like really cheap, or maybe it was HBO Max or something. They're starting to do little bundles where it kind of makes sense, like my wife and I want it. So first of all, we watched a couple of series on Apple TV, which are very good, like For All Mankind and Servant, I think was the number one. And then there are a couple of others that we haven't watched yet, but there's a handful that's supposed to be pretty good. And then we just threw the Apple TV Plus thing, wanted to watch a show that was on Epics, which was the world's TV series, which by the way, just ended up being kind of terrible, but we never paid for it because we watched it in like 3 days. And then it was like a 7-day trial. So we're like, screw it. You know, like it's okay. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But however, the Apple Fitness bundled with this kind of makes it a little bit more worth it if you're going to use it. You know, what are you going to use?
You said you use Apple Music, right?
I use Apple Music. You know, when I started using Apple Music in my car, because for whatever reason, I got to tell you, like Siri does not search Spotify.
So you want to be able to say it.
I want to be able to say like, hey.
It's almost
hey,
like
Siri,
they gave their own Led service Zeppelin. An unfair advantage. But you know, no one's ever accused them of that, so let's not worry about that. So you pay for an individual plan. So was that $9.95 a month?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And then Apple TV Plus must be what, $5 a month?
$5.
And Apple Arcade is probably also
$5. Yeah.
I mean, I think right now I'm getting it for free because I bought an iPhone last year or something. I think
that's what I have too.
Yeah, but we'll say it's $5. So those three things together is $20. iCloud storage, I don't even know if you could pay for 2 terabytes today, but if you could, wicked expensive. Like that alone is probably more than $30 a month. I mean, it's probably up there. And then Apple News Plus might be $5 or $10 a month. So, I mean, if if you're kind of all in on the Apple services, if you need, there's probably a cross section. If you're going to use three of these things, this totally makes sense. And then you get the other ones for free. So why not? It might turn you into a user of those services.
Yeah, it's quite possible. So in kind of keeping on trend with Apple before we wrap it up, it is interesting mm-hmm. that we did not get certain things, right? So first of all, tomorrow, iOS 14 and iPad OS, they're all coming out, right? TV OS.
Yep.
No discussion about Mac OS, about the release of Mac OS. Normally, they do these things at the same time, and you're not getting that this year.
Right.
I'm curious why.
Maybe it has something to do with the Apple Silicon based Macs.
Oh, very possible that they're still implementing stuff.
But I'm trying to imagine what that could be. Like, why would that would matter? But maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that because they have not announced that. But tomorrow, the software is going to be out there. I think developers have the GM now. It's available to developers now, so I probably could upgrade that now if I need to. But
yeah, so I must be running it now then, because I've been on the beta for iOS.
Well, I think they just released it.
Oh, they just today?
Okay. Yeah. Today.
Oh, okay.
But here's my question. You know, with Apple spreading out the events so much, right? They had the event in June. They had the event now. They're having another event and possibly another one in November. If they don't decide to condense everything into October, do you think it takes away by spreading it out so many times and having four events or three events a year compared to doing the normal two?
No, this is going to be one of those many weird side effects of the pandemic. What they're going to realize is that this kind of thing makes sense. They get multiple news cycles out of this, you know? It really kind of helps not just for people like me and you who, you know, cover the news or whatever, but just from, like, their user base, it's less to digest at once. And when there's too much stuff, when there's an information overload, you skip over stuff. You just don't hear it because you're still processing the last thing, you know? So I thought I like the length of this event. I like the style was fine. And just the amount of stuff that they announced, it was really focused, you know? And plus it gives them, like, if you think about it, if they had done somehow this stuff plus the iPhones, and maybe even the Apple, you know, the Mac stuff, that event, they would have had to give short thrift to something. Like, content would have been cut down here and there to make this thing, you know, come in under 2 hours or whatever. It was like the right event for the right amount of stuff. Like, I thought it was good. So if they do a separate iPhone event with tags probably, and then like an event for the Mac, great. You know?
Yeah.
That's great.
So here's something else that a lot of people skipped over. The new Apple Watch has a wideband chip in it. Ultra wideband.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me is obviously for the tags, right?
Yeah. 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 Yep.
I'm just curious how that's going to work. I mean, how big are these actual things? You know, what are you going to attach it to? You know, it can't just stick
I'm going to attach it to a tile.
To a tile and then ping. And
I'm just going to throw it onto a moving car and let them battle it out.
I mean, it's fascinating. Holiday items, right? This is going to be a cheap and expensive. Depends on how much it is. If it's $99, then no. But if you're talking about $49, $59, then I can see a lot of people getting into this and buying it. I, for one, lose my wallet almost every day. I have no idea where my wallet is. To keep one of these things in my wallet, it'll save me a lot of time. So I found that interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not a lot of groundbreaking stuff here. A lot of minor incremental updates. And you could tell, especially with the watch, when they're concentrating so heavily on bands and the colors, we're at the end of the cycle for this specific Apple Watch. I think this may be the last one.
Of this design. Oh, that could be. I mean, it's a nice evergreen thing because there are people who care enough about fashion that they would have multiple bands and they would try to match the clothing or the event or whatever it is. And then the other thing is, you know, maybe you bought one a year or two ago and now they have these new colors and you're like, cool. It's like getting a new watch for free for a little bit of money because the overall watch design hasn't changed. So you get it's nice. Like, it's smart. This is all... I don't mean to be down on the iPad stuff. iPad's great. It's just that the low-end one to me wasn't much of an upgrade. I feel like that thing's overdue for a refresh. And then the iPad Air looks fantastic, but it's just, you know, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Apple Watch makes tons of sense to me.
Yeah. Listen, okay. It was fine. You know, it was all very small updates. I like this very quick. I'm very interested on a personal level, because we cover this for the last 10 years, you know, all these events. I'm mm-hmm. curious how they adapt once, you know, this whole, once the COVID social distancing is over and they start bringing people back into a live audience for these keynotes and for these events, how is the production going to change? Because doing it this way, boom, 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 so much better than a 2.5 hour, you know.
I know, it flies over to some person who's in a different virtual location and it's all pre-recorded, right? I mean, it's nice. I don't know. I thought about this with Microsoft because I cover Microsoft more closely, but I always sort of felt like this thing will impact live events. Like, live events in the future may not be like the live events of the past. There'll be like an online element and there'll be an in-person element. And that becomes that's a third type of event when you think about it. I feel like Microsoft has done such a good job with the virtual stuff, it's going to make it hard to do a live event. I feel the same about Apple. Like, these events have a certain pace and kind of peppiness to them that I think is great. And middle-aged white guy standing on a stage pontificating about how great his company is not necessarily great TV, but these events have better production values. And
Way better.
Yeah, I think it's a better way to present this kind of information. But Apple, I mean, it's not just Apple, but Apple loves to stand and receive the applause. You know, it's gonna be a hard thing to give up. But we'll see.
By the way, Apple is no longer including a USB adapter with their Apple Watch.
Yeah, which is, of course, is a preview of what they're going to do as well with the iPhone, and they'll use the same excuse for that. It's probably fair to note that most of Apple's fans have a bunch of these cables, so
yeah,
maybe it is the right thing to do. It's one of those things you can't argue with the environmental aspect of it, but it's also fair to point out they're saving themselves a couple of bucks, and that will go right to the margin on the device. It's not like they're going to charge $15 less for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not saving money by not getting the cable.
So Eric in our chat room, and this is something that I was thinking while they were doing this event, right? Eric in our chat room makes tutorials for iMovie on YouTube. You would say who's using iMovie, and I would have normally never used iMovie for anything, and until I realized how quick it is for me to take a clip, drop it in there, just chop the beginning, chop the end, and post it on Twitter or something.
Say iMovie, do you mean iMovie on like a device or iMovie on a Mac?
This was where I'm going, right? So I use iMovie on the Mac.
Okay.
It's very bare bones. Very, very bare. There's essentially nothing you could do there, right? You could chop the beginning, chop the end. Some sort of color correction, but if you use their AI, their automated color correction, it kind of sucks. There's really not much there. However, it's fascinating to me on how Apple keeps pushing iMovie on all their devices. Like, it's a big, if you notice, it's on every keynote, every device.
Well, you know why, though, right? Because video editing is like the holy grail of, is this thing a real platform, right? When you can do video editing on a mobile device or on the web, like, you know, those things have come of age, right? Because people think about that stuff. Because nobody does this. They think like, oh my God, I must need like this incredible computer to do this. And it's like, no, you can do this on a phone, you know, assuming you can see the screen.
But what's interesting is that on the iPad, it's a big selling point, right? That you could do iMovie edits, and they're showing you all these crazy edits, right?
Right.
Here's what I find interesting. iMovie on the iPad is really good for what it is, but iMovie on the Mac is nothing. It's really fallen behind, especially when it comes to simplified video editing. There's a ton of tools out there that are pretty simplified. Like, I use Premiere if I need to do something, which is rare because John right. Suncast does a lot of the editing, but I had to take a video. I converted a family video to digital, and I needed to brighten the thing up, right? I need to clean it up and brighten it up. I tried to do it on iMovie because I was lazy. Did not work. I put it into Premiere, and it took me like 4 hours to figure this out because I don't really use Premiere as much as I used to. And I got it done, and I kept saying, you know, Apple's totally capable of doing this, especially with their MacBook Pros. And it's a big selling point for them to tell you, look, we have this built-in video editor that's good. I'm shocked that they haven't made iMovie on the Mac an in-between. You know, keep it simple. Make it very easy for the user base because you're not, if you're using iMovie to edit videos, you're not super, and I don't mean this in an insulting way. Listen, I'm one of these people. You're not superly sophisticated when it comes to video editing or your needs. Or listen, your needs aren't, you know, you're not.
Yeah,
it's not part of your need base. Why not implement the AI features that they have and they use into making this into some sort of decent, you know, simplified video editing software? Find it very interesting that they've held off.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. I mean, I could just guess that maybe in addition to the fact that it makes their mobile devices seem all the more powerful, maybe they just see that that's where people are, you know.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it because, like, they have transitions and, you know, it's all hokey stuff. They have titles you can do.
Yeah, I mean, someone who's on a Mac doing video editing, whether it's for, like, a YouTube channel or professionally or whatever, is probably using a higher-end tool. So
I'm sure.
Maybe that's just the way this has evolved. It just has come to make more sense on a device, which is funny because, you know, back in the day, iMovie to me was fairly complex. And Microsoft had that Movie Maker app, which was super simple. And I haven't looked at iMovie in forever, so I have no idea what it's like anymore.
We have a question in the chat. Does the iPad Air have quad stereo speakers or no?
They said stereo and landscape.
That is what they said. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I heard. So yeah. I know what the reason they ask is the iPad Pro has quad speakers, so it's stereo no matter the orientation.
Suncast, our producer. Said Snapseed like app but for video. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Very interested by that because even their photos app, it's so far behind what their what they could possibly do. I'm curious.
It's probably just
it.
Not where their focus is right now, you know.
Yeah, it's the Apple way. Think about how long it took them to implement the messages. Kind of bridge messages from iOS to the Mac platform, right? The Mac is secondary more than anything else because it's their least successful lineup if you look at the grand scheme of things. Very interesting, though. It was a fine event, very quick stuff. The most, if I were to say for me, the new Apple Watch would be that device if I were to purchase something right now. However, now I'm thinking, I'm like, they're at the end of the cycle for this design. Well, I'm not going to buy this year.
But, you know, think about it like a car. That's the ideal time to buy it. All the problems have been kinked out. This is, you know, this is the apex for this generation of devices, maybe. I mean, if you're correct. I don't know. I'm not going to buy one. I mean, I've got, like I said, the Amazon thing's coming. I guess I could cancel the Fitbit if I wanted to go Apple instead. But, you know, the things about the Apple Watch that have always bothered me are kind of still there. The Apple-only nature of it, obviously, being the big one. But it gets better and better every year. And I don't know. I think we've all been sitting around doing nothing during the pandemic. If you're serious about getting healthy, you might want to consider something. One of these things or something. I mean, you know, and I think the Apple advantage is the just the sheer amount of stuff that it tracks and the capabilities it has. It's big. It's a good product.
Yeah. Guys, I want to remind you, you can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. That's Andrew Zarian. Paul Thurrott on Twitter at Thurrott. Thurrott.com, his website, one of my top tech sites to go to. You and Brad do an unbelievable job, by the way. It's always phenomenal content. They do a show daily, First Ring Daily, every morning is posted. Paul does a show with me on What the Tech, which we're going to be doing Thursday here on this channel. Also, he's on Twit with Windows Weekly. We married Joe Foley and Leah Laporte. You guys have been doing that for how many years now? Have you been doing Windows Weekly? 15 years?
I think it's 14.
Jeez, unbelievable.
I think.
Unbelievable.
I think it was 2006.
My God. That feels like decades ago at this point.
Yeah.
It's over almost 2 decades.
Yeah, so, it's
a decade
is,
and a
yeah.
half. Unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been doing this for almost 10 years, so it says a lot. You could go and follow us also, What the Tech GFQ on Twitter. Hey, we also now have an Instagram, Paul. I don't know if you know this. What the Tech has an Instagram. What the Tech News on Instagram. You could go there and subscribe to us there. But I wanted to do a quick show today. I wanted to talk about all the stuff that was happening because generally when we have these Apple events, it's very difficult to talk about everything else that happened in technology because they kind of saturate the conversation for like a good hour. So we wanted to split this up. We're going to be doing our show, regular show on Thursday, 1:30, right? Thursday?
Yes.
Yep. Or if you can we do it later?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I'd rather not do it too much later.
Okay. We'll figure it out. I could do 1:30. Easy. I'm just trying to... listen, I'm just trying to work with you.
That's it. I completely zoned on the...
On the timing?
Well, actually, hold on one second. What is this?
Today's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
All right. Actually, you know what? We have to do it later.
Okay.
No, we don't. I'm sorry. This is infringing on my other meeting. I have a Microsoft meeting, but it's earlier. Never mind.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
Never mind.
We'll figure it out. We have a couple days.
Okay.
Tomorrow, by the way, there's a PlayStation announcement happening, correct?
Yes. They're calling it a showcase. I think it was a game showcase or something. Obviously, what we all care about is the price. So I think what they're going to do is announce the price.
Yeah. Which, big news for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, going to be a very interesting holiday season with a lot of devices being released. Unfortunately, in a middle of a financial and global pandemic and I guess financial disaster of sorts, considering how many people are out of work still and everything going on. But we'll see what happens. Still interesting to cover it. Guys, this is it for this week. We're going to wrap it up. Very quick show. This is it for today, I should say. This week, Thursday, we'll be back. We'll have two shows this week. Also, What to Talk on Thursday as well. That's it for this week. See you later.